Morning, church. And that is a fact. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. That's a perfect introduction to the study. We're beginning at 6 o'clock tonight. Gonna do something different rather than preaching from the pulpit tonight. We're gonna be teaching for a few weeks here on the second coming, the rapture of the church, and the tribulation and things related to that. So I would invite you to come back at 6 o'clock if you would. We would love to have you for that study. When our children are growing up, we very often tell them how much we love them. Sometimes we miss opportunities to make that truth known. And sometimes before we get turned around real good, those same children are grown. And some of them with children of their own, and it's not a surprise when we realize that time really flies. And it would be good for you and I if on a regular basis we shared those things. I've often been told that, you know, if you're going to pin roses on somebody, pin them on them while they're still here. While you can look them in the eyes and tell them how much you love them and how much you appreciate them. And, you know, when they're small, they might not understand, you know, the love that we have for them as parents. They might not get that, but we tell them anyway, don't we? And that's what we should do. We tell them anyway. And their inability to understand doesn't prevent us from saying how much we love them and showing them that. And the good news is, folks, is that God is no different than that. As our Heavenly Father, He has told us and showed us over and over and over and over again how much we're loved. If you have a Bible with you today, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. What an incredible passage of scripture this is. And I know it's been preached thousands and hundreds of thousands of times over the generations, I'm sure, because of the power that's in these words. I want to begin with verse 31, Romans chapter 8. It will be a familiar passage to many of you. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Listen to this. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Boy, that's a great verse. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. To God be the glory and the blessing to the reading of His Word. What a tremendous message. Paul is speaking here to the church at Rome. He is speaking to a group of believers. He is letting them know that their faith is not in vain. He is letting them know that God loves them above and beyond their ability to understand it. God loves you and I, church, beyond our ability to understand it. There's no way that our finite minds is going to be able to comprehend the love of God. But that did not keep him from coming and showing us how much he loves us. And sometimes I wondered what my father was doing what kind of choices he was making, what kind of no's he said to me and why, and sometimes what kind of yeses he said to me and why. And I'm sure that sometimes we wonder what our Father is doing as well. I love what Max Lucado said. He says, from the cradle in Bethlehem to the cross in Jerusalem, we have pondered the love of God. It is vast and it is amazing. And that process is also often emotional. And what can you say to that kind of emotion? I've confessed to you straight up today, I will not be able to communicate to you the depth and the width and the power and the awesomeness of the love of God. It's like trying to define the grace of God. It's nearly impossible. We don't think like God. We are incapable of thinking like God. But isn't it wonderful, church, that we're allowed to see how he thinks in many things, in many places, in many things that he does for you and I? I want this to be a feel-good message today. I want you to leave here knowing and understanding just how much you are loved by God. Paul would not try to define the love of God. What he would do would be to ask some questions. When you realize and you learn that God would rather die than do without you, how do you respond to that? How can you begin to explain the passion, the dedication, the commitment of our Lord? If you're Paul, you don't try to explain it. You don't make any statements. You don't offer any explanations. But rather, you ask just a few questions that helps put this thing in perspective. And we're going to talk about those this morning for just a few minutes. The first question is a question of protection. Verse 31, what shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's a really great question. The question is not simply who can be against us. We wouldn't have any trouble offering an answer to that. If you ask me, well, who can stand against you? I can name a number of things. Disease, inflation, corruption, exhaustion, Satan his very self, the culture that we live in, the people who hate Christianity. I could go on and on. And so could you. You could name a lot of things that would stand against you. But you see, it's different. It's a lot easier to list our foes than to fight them. But you see, there's a lot more here. The full question here in this verse is, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And I want to take that a little bit further. This phrase, God is for us, I want to emphasize each particular word here. God is for us. God is for us. God is for us. God is for us. I've been told it's a matter of what syllable you put the emphasis on. Some of you got that, I'm sure. Yeah. Is it news to you that God is for you? In a culture that we live in, there are so many things that stand against us. So many voices in our ears remind us that because we have committed our life to Christ, that we are second-class citizens. If we take a stand for that which is right, we are labeled as haters. And you can go on and on and on with that. We're labeled as intolerant because we have some things that we believe in and that we stand by. But I want you to understand today that God is for you. Maybe your parents have forgotten you for whatever reason. Maybe your teachers have neglected you or your siblings are ashamed of you, but that's not the case with God. He's only a prayer away. I need you to know that God is for you. God is for you. Not maybe, not has been for you or was for you at one particular time or would be for you if you did certain things. God is for you today at this very hour, at this very minute. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to come back tomorrow. He's probably never been closer to you than he is at this very moment. And the question is, would you recognize that? Would you believe that if it were told to you? He couldn't be any closer to you than he is right now. His loyalty to you is not going to increase if you're better. or it's not going to lessen if you're worse. He is with you. Period. When you hear the word of God spoken or sung or prayed, and the Holy Spirit makes that truth real in your life, you've never been closer than in that moment. Maybe that is a comfort that the Holy Spirit is giving you. Maybe that is a confirmation that the Holy Spirit is giving you that you're on the right track, that you're doing the right thing. But maybe it is a conviction that the Holy Spirit is giving you. Maybe for some it's about your salvation. Maybe for others about your lifestyle. Maybe for others about those things that you should be doing that you're not. What I want you to understand is that God is with you. He is for you. Now, thirdly, God is for you. He's cheering you on, folks, as you run your race. The very word of God just said very clearly in verse 32 or verse 34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." God is for us. He is not against us. He is in your corner. He's hearing your prayers. And thank you, God, for the fact that we know by chapter and verse here that he intercedes for you and I, that he sends us comfort and he sends us strength through the Holy Spirit. And there's so much more, and time would not allow to go into all of those details, but make sure that you know that God is for you. For you. And God is for you. I love what Max Lucado said again. He said, "If God had a calendar, your birthday would be circled on it. If he drove, your name would be on a bumper sticker." Sounds simple, but it's honest. Do you realize that God has a tattoo? I know y'all looking at me like I'm from outer space. But we know what it says, you see, because Isaiah 49:16 says, "I've written your name on my hand." You think God is close? Do you think it matters to him what we do with our life and how we live it? You see, Isaiah 49:15 said, "God pledges to never forget us." So that's the good news, I believe. So knowing that God is with us, who can stand against us? Do you know anybody stronger than God? Do you know anybody more powerful than God? Do you know anybody who would love you more than God loves you in this very moment? And the second question that Paul's going to help answer here is the question of endurance. Answers the issue of protection already. God is with us. What about the question of endurance? I've asked these questions before. How long will God's love endure? Does God really love us forever? Is there anything that could change that? Does God love us based on our performance? No. He loves us based on his character, and we are so blessed because of that, because this same word said that God is love. You know, does God really love us forever? Not just on Easter Sunday when we're at our best. We really want to know those things. I asked God one time in so many words, maybe not just exactly these words, "Well, God, how do you feel about me when I'm a jerk?" I think that's a legitimate question. "How do you feel about me, God, when I am unlovable? How do you feel about me, God, when I'm a whole lot left of right?" You know, not just when I'm energetic and positive and trying to be spiritual, even I like myself at that particular point. But God, how do you feel about me when I'm not on my A game? Sometimes I feel like a tonsil. Cut me out, put me in the garbage can, life goes on, no big deal. Sometimes I wonder what God thinks about me when I snap at everything that moves. No comment, Diane. When my thoughts are in the gutter or just above. Did I cross the line this week? What happens when my temper and my tongue is sharp enough to slice a rock? Let's just get real for a second. I'm not sure we've processed the depth and the power and the magnificence of the love of God in our lives. Does God still like me then? Did I cross the line this week? Did I drift too far? Did I wait too long? Did I slip too much? And Paul asked the question here, can anything separate us from the love that Christ has for us? And aren't you glad, church, that the answer to that is absolutely not. Nothing, nothing can separate us from the love that Christ has for us. And God answered that question long before we ever even ask it. And once again, I will quote Max Lucado. So we would see the answer of God to that question. He said he lit up the sky with a very special star. When we would hear it, he filled the night with a choir. And when he would believe it, he did what no man ever dreamed about doing. He became flesh and he dwelt among you and I. God placed his hand on the shoulder of humanity and he said, you are worth dying for. Aren't you glad, church, that that's how God felt about you and I? Aren't you glad, church, that the love of God is not based on my performance because I'm not always on my A game? And I would guess maybe you're not either. That there are certain days when things don't just go well. But God says you're somebody really, really special. He sees all of us even before we're born. And he loves what he sees. God says to you, you are my child. I love you dearly. I'm aware that someday you may turn away from me and you might walk away, but you need to know that I've already provided your way back. Some of us have done that. Some of us have been walking close to the Lord, and for whatever reason, we chose to walk away. We chose to take our own path. We need to know this morning that the love of our Father and the love of our Savior toward us has not changed. He does not love you more because you get something right, or love you less because you get something wrong. And we need to hear that. This culture today needs to hear that. God's people and God's churches all over the country and around the world need to hear that. God is still for you. God still loves you. God still practices grace on your life. God still forgives you and restores you and wants you to know that if you have drifted for whatever reason, you can come home. Paul is writing to the church. He is letting them know that there's not anything, and I mean nothing, that can separate you from the love of God. I find that just absolutely amazing. So he begins to list some things after he asked that question. Verse 35, from there to the end of the chapter, is a magnificent passage of Scripture. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? No. Not going to happen. What about distress? What about persecution? I believe that Christians are more persecuted today maybe than any time in recent history. We've been labeled as intolerant. We've been labeled as haters. We've been labeled as narrow because we take a stand for that which is right. Jesus said, can distress in your life, can that separate you from the love of Christ? If I don't make the right choice every day, is God done with me? See, the good news is that's not the case at all. Not because of how good I am, but because of how great he is. And that's something that you and I can celebrate this morning. How about famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Can any of those things separate us from the love of God? The Bible says not at all. Paul is writing to the church at Rome and he's letting them know, you need to understand that the love of God goes above and beyond anything you could imagine. That the love of God reaches into places that you could never reach. That the love of God forgives you from things that the world and the people that you live around may never forgive you from. And he tells them, he says in verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long and are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And it's there. Jesus was very clear for those who was going to follow him. He said, in this world you're going to have trouble. In this world there's going to be tests. In this world there's going to be challenges. In this world there's going to be loss. And he told us clearly that just because we walk with him does not mean that our life will be simple at every turn. But what he did say to us is, you'll never walk there alone.
Yes.
What he did say to us is, my spirit will live in you to comfort you. My spirit will live into you to confirm you on your choices that are right. My spirit will live in you to comfort you from the losses. And Paul said, listen, church, we may be killed all the day long. We might look like sheep at the slaughter, but I need you to understand one thing. Verse 37, in all these things, we are going to be more than conquerors. Why is that? Through him that loved us. What does more than conquerors mean? It means we are super conquerors. It means we are more than just the average conquerors. We are super conquerors. Because of God's love for us. Because he provides the strength necessary and the truth necessary for you and I to step above all of the things that the world hands us. I love verse 38, especially the first phrase. Paul says, for I am persuaded. In the Greek language, there's what's called a perfect tense of the verb. And what he means by that, he says, I have been persuaded in my past. I'm still persuaded in my present. And the perfect tense means that I will continue to be persuaded in the days to come. And what is that he's persuaded about? What is that Paul is so absolutely sure about? Nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. No tragedy, no hardship, no difficulty, no loss can separate us from the love of God. And Paul says, I am persuaded. I have been, I am, and I will be persuaded until I no longer have breath in my body. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Praise God, church. There's not anything, nothing, anywhere that can stop God from loving us. I think that needs to be heard today. I think the Church of Jesus Christ needs to understand that our success is found in him, not in what you and I bring to the table. That our praise needs to be unto him. That nothing can stop God from loving me. You know, Jesus said basically, you know, I came and I spoke your language. I slept on your earth. I feel your hurts. I understand where you're coming from. You know, maybe we wonder if Jesus ever understood how we felt. You know, if you look at him closely, you begin to realize that he was born here, that he lived here. He experienced many of the things that we experience. That we don't, the Bible says that our high priest understands He lived it. He understands. He made you and I. He understands what we go through. Maybe you wonder how long His love is going to last. Take a look at the cross. That was what He did for us. Bleeding and covered in spit and sin-soaked. He did that for you and I. He did that so that we might know always, 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 always that we are deeply loved. That we are incredibly loved. That we are more loved than we could ever imagine. And that love does not change based on our performance or the lack thereof. It's rewarding to know that God still loves me when I'm a jerk. That He still loves me when I'm not on my A game. That He still loves me when I make poor choices. I want you to hear that today. If you hear nothing else at all, you are more loved than you could ever imagine. It's like the grace of God. It's impossible to describe the amazing grace of God. It is impossible to understand the great depth of God's love. But it is possible to understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That, folks, is worth the price of admission today. Go home and be reminded that you're loved beyond anything that you could ever understand, and that there's not a single thing that could ever happen to you that would prevent God from loving you. You need to hear that. Have you ever heard the song, "The Love of God"? It was written, it was written in 1917. And it's an amazing, amazing song. It helps us to know about John 3:16, it helps us to understand Romans 8:38 and 39 that I just read here. What I didn't realize at the very beginning was that the third verse of this, and I may have to read it twice, this is so incredibly powerful. The third verse of this song was found penciled on the wall in an insane asylum just before the person was carried to his grave. And I'll read that for you in just a minute. It's called "The Love of God." It says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin." And here's the refrain. "O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song." Verse 2 says, "When time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song." And here's verse 3. And I want you to get a picture of what I'm about to read. This was what was written on the wall in the insane asylum for the person who had just, they found it after he was carried away to his grave. "Could we with ink the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, And every man, a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Think about that. If the ocean were filled with ink, and every person were a scribe with the ability to write, and the sky was a parchment on which to write, in order to write the love of God, it would drain the ocean. And there wouldn't be enough room to write about it if the whole sky was a parchment. Amazing. Amazing. I believe with all of my heart that we have underestimated by a long shot the incredible love of God. That oftentimes as the church in the 21st century, we have listened to the words of the world whisper in our ears, what you're doing isn't worth it. How could God love you when you fail that way? Why would he forgive you when you made that kind of choice? And then you and I are reminded from God's own word that there's not a single thing, nothing, that can separate us from the love of God.
Yes, Lord.
That begs the question, do you know him? Is he your Savior and Lord? Are you related to him by salvation? Has there ever been a time in your life when you would simply say, Lord, I realize that I am as lost as yesterday. I have never asked you to forgive me of my sins. I have never prayed to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I have never confessed to you in any way, form, or fashion that I'm lost. Make sure you understand, the cross was for you as well. He gave his life, not just for those who already believed in him, but for those who would believe in him. We preach that truth simply because without a living, walking relationship with Jesus Christ, when your time on this planet is over, your eternity will be a separation from the God who loves you so much. Amen. Tonight I'm going to start the study at 6 o'clock on the second coming of Jesus, the rapture of the church, the tribulation time. And folks, it's pointed. It's really, really honest. When Jesus went away, he told his disciples straight up, if I go away, I'll come back and get you. And one of these days, ain't no grave gonna hold us down. Ain't no grave if Jesus waits until I'm already dead. Won't matter. Ain't no grave gonna hold me or you or all those who believe. Maybe your concern is that you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. We'd love to do that. Maybe you don't have a church membership anywhere and you're checking out things to see maybe if this is that place. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you. Maybe for whatever reason, you might need some altar time. There's some things you want to straighten out between you and the Heavenly Father. It doesn't have to happen here, but it can if you want it to. I'd love to pray with you, pray for you, should you want me to do that. This invitation belongs to the Lord Jesus. If anything has been said this morning, has spoken to your heart, if you feel deep down inside of your heart, the Holy Spirit lays a level of conviction on you about making any kind of particular choice today, I'm going to invite you to do so. The love of God, impossible to express, magnificent to experience. Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for using a guy like Paul who helps to put it in perspective. Nothing can separate us from your love, and I'm so glad. Maybe there's some choices that need to be made here today. God, I pray that those folks would not walk out this door today unless they made that choice. I thank you for the praise and for the singing, for the prayers, for the teaching, for the fellowship, for the experience that we call Lena Vista Baptist Church. God, may you be pleased with what we do here. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you come? 307.